Today is September 27th, 2013, and this is episode number 232, the special palindrome episode of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, tomorrow's engineer.
Nice.
Sit here for a second, let you think about that one. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you could visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@macobserver.com. I just realized we have those two ats right there.
Oh, yeah. I think that shows how closely you have paid attention to what we say over the years.
Now, you know what's actually really interesting about that? Is, you know, I listen for... as a writer and as a musician, I listen to the rhythm and repetition of words, especially when it's negative, like, you know, when you have some kind of repetition, right?
Mm-hmm. But when it's sort of like repetitious.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you think that I'm redundant, that I repeat myself, that I say things over and over again. Favorite Frasier line from Cheers.
Yes.
In this case, though, the written word, because we have written AT and then the at sign, that has been for years now, that's been overshadowing what I was hearing. What I was seeing was overshadowing what I was hearing, so I'd never noticed that repetition.
Sure, yeah, there's the visual that you're seeing as you read this. And people, I need to point out that after all these years, we actually still do have to have our introduction written down so that we can at least create the illusion that we know what we're talking about.
Exactly, because the illusions are important sometimes.
Especially for us.
So, you know, I'm going to stop trying to pretend like we're coming up with this on the fly.
Okay, well, how about if I just mess it up all right from the beginning and say that I call this the palindrome episode?
Uh-huh.
A number can't be a palindrome, even though it's episode 232. Hmm. 232 backwards is not a palindrome, because it's not a word.
Fair enough.
And I figured I just better point that out right now, because we do have some listeners that are somewhat pedantic.
Uh-huh. We have some members of the staff that are a little bit pedantic.
Yes, we do.
Mostly.
Mostly you. And I say that with love. So at some point, probably during the editing phase, you would hear that, and it would be as if nails were being dragged across a chalkboard.
Right.
So right. I just saved you from that. Or I pointed it out so it will bother you from this day forward.
Excellent.
Either way, you're welcome.
Thank you, sir. So we're going to do a gift guide. We're going to talk about some stuff.
We always talk about stuff. It will just be cool.
It'll be actual stuff.
Right.
It'll be that definition of stuff. It'll be stuff that you can have. Because let's be honest, we're going to actually have some expensive items on this. So this is really more like the guide for things that you can buy yourself while you're pretending to shop for someone else.
Right.
Right. Because we're good that way.
We've got your back, people.
We do. So I was thinking that we could start this off with an oldie but a goodie.
I think I know right where you're going.
Yeah. One of my favorite products of all time has remained the best desktop speakers you can buy anywhere near this price range, and that's the Audio Engine A5 desktop speakers.
I love those too. I have a set on my desk, and it is akin to magic.
They sound fantastic. Now, I've reviewed them. I actually reviewed them from the standpoint of listening to music, and also from the standpoint of being a desktop music producer, and that was years ago. We talked about them several times. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them today, but they are still fantastic desktop speakers. If you have someone you really care about, they're $399. We, of course, have a link to all these products in the show notes even. And
of course.
They sound absolutely amazing.
How about if we ramp it up a little bit for everyone, since we can't help but talk about the A5s a lot.
Uh-huh.
And we offer up a gift that makes them sound even better.
Okay.
As if that's possible. Okay, so Audio Engine recently released what's called the D3. And it's a DAC, so that's a digital analog converter, digital audio converter.
Yep.
That plugs into a USB port on your Mac, and it has a headphone jack on the other end. And it's a 24-bit DAC system. So what it's doing is it's bypassing the built-in digital to analog audio conversion chip that's in your Mac, and it's replacing it with a 24-bit, really high-end converter. And
yeah, I believe that the one that's in our Macs is, I believe it's 16-bit.
That sounds right. I think you're right. And this is markedly better. I've tried it out, and it wasn't one of those things where I thought I need to sit and listen so that I can learn to appreciate the improved audio quality. It was one of those things where I was glad I was sitting down, because I had a holy crap moment.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, $189. And it's small enough that if you want to travel with it, you can. It even comes with a little case.
Looks a lot like a thumb drive.
It does. It looks a lot like a thumb drive. And
it's a little bit bigger than most thumb drives today.
Right. You remember the Gum Pack iPod Shuffle, the original?
Mm-hmm.
It's smaller than that.
Smaller than that with the USB stick on the end.
Yeah.
USB port on the end. All right. Well, so that's cool. So if you care about music, or if you know someone that cares about music and you love them a whole lot, we've got the Audio Engine A5s, $399. We've got the D3 DAC for $189. Good way to hear some good sounds. And I actually have a relevant segue, because speaking of good sounds, if you're looking for a great pair of headphones...
Oh, wow. It really is a relevant segue.
Which is a rarity for me. But V-Moda Crossfade M100s. I reviewed these earlier this year. These headphones are fantastic at $310. They sound great. They sound amazing. Good bass without them being all thumpy and making the music muddy. I'm looking at you, Beats. Uh-huh. And... the high end sound great. The mid sound great. They collapse into the tightest, smallest, configuration of any set of headphones, over the year headphones that I've seen. And these are over the year headphones. And they're just made out of the metal parts that snick into place, just this beautiful snicking sound, and they fold up tight and they're really easy to carry. They've got a great hard shell case that they come with that'll just clip to your belt, clip to your bag, and they sound amazing. They just sound absolutely amazing. They're $310, so they're competing towards the entry level of the high end. You can spend $400 or $500 on headphones easily. But for my money, outside of something like the Parrot Zeke noise canceling headphones, which I'm still waiting to test, those are where I would spend my money. The V-Moda Crossfade M100s, those are the over-ear headphones that I would buy with my money.
All right, so now we know what to put on your Christmas list.
I've got a pair.
Now we know what to put on my Christmas list.
Now we know what to put on your Christmas list, yes, because they're fantastic. And I'm a big fan. Do you like over-the-ear headphones?
I do. I have a problem, which is that most of the over-the-ear headphones that I have tried put pressure on the arms on my glasses.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, it's something that I just deal with, because I'd rather have that over-the-ear thing. I do not like on-ear headphones at all. I do like in-ear ones, but I'm kind of spoiled there. I've got a pair of custom fits that are fantastic. But over-the-ear for headphones for me.
Yeah, the over-the-ears, if I can find pairs that don't hurt, then that's great. On-ears, I've never liked. In-ears... The ones that I like, they all cost well over $100.
Well, that's actually, you know, we have those on the list. It's probably a good time to mention the fitness related in ears that you like.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, that would be the Jaybird Blue Bud X, and these are Bluetooth in ear headphones that are aimed at sports and fitness and outdoor activity people.
So, in other words, stick them in your ear, and they're not going to come out.
They're not going to come out, and they're a little bit weatherproof. So, if you happen to be out in the rain or snow, they're not going to short out to make your head explode. Big plus.
It's a big feature.
Yes, and so I've been testing these for a little while now, and I have found that I really like them. What I've discovered is that most of the in-ear headphones that are geared towards sports and fitness are really low audio quality. So very flat or very thumpy, muddy bass, real thin highs and unclear mids. So just exactly what you don't want in your quality audio. The Blue Bud X happens to totally throw all that out the window, and they're good. It's good audio coming off of these. The bass isn't muddy. The rest of the audio is nice as well. Yes, you can get higher quality audio out of other products, but not in the sports and fitness headphone area. They cost $169.95. So yes, you're paying a lot more for them. A lot of the sport and fitness headphones that I've seen fall in the under $50 category. And there's a difference. These sound great. They're very comfortable, and they have been holding up really well through my testing, and surprisingly long battery life.
You know, I when it comes to audio, I am a big believer in that you get what you pay for. I tend to look at most things that way. You get what you pay for, and this is nowhere is that more true than with speakers. And these include speakers that fit on or in your ear.
I agree.
And, you know, if you are okay, if someone out there is okay with inexpensive speakers that sound like crap, more power to you. But, yeah, for me, my speakers need to sound good, or I don't even want to bother listening.
I agree. And a problem that I have found with the lower quality speakers and headphones is that oftentimes I have to turn the volume up a lot higher to be able to hear what I want to hear, which means that I'm increasing the risk of ear damage.
That's right. It's true. All right. So we started off with a nice little audio bang, didn't we?
We did. Go
us. Now let's point to some things with Styli.
I just love your segues.
That was a terrible segue. I know. So we have the one inexpensive thing on our list.
And I laugh because it's true. The one inexpensive thing on our list is Wacom's Bamboo Stylus.
It's a great stylus, man.
It's my go-to stylus. It's, as a matter of fact, it's sitting here on my desk right now. It as of this very moment, it is in my hand. It's an aluminum body. It balances really well. It's very durable. The tip unscrews, so you can replace the touch-sensitive nib on the end.
And I've played with a lot of styluses, and those nibs just come off, you know, just like lickety-split. And that's not the case, for at least for me, for the Bamboo.
I agree. And I'm a pretty hardcore user because I'm drawing with this all the time.
Right.
So it has to hold up, and it holds up well. It's also very responsive. Many of the styluses that I have tried will work really well, but they just don't conduct through the tip as efficiently, because they'll start drawing and there'll be a fraction of a second or even up to a second before my iPad actually knows that I'm drawing. So where I start to draw a line is not where the line actually starts to appear in many cases. That's not what happens with the Wacom Bamboo. And it's
fair
1995.
Enough. The thing I like about it the most is just how good it feels in your hand. It feels like a quality instrument. You know, it feels like you're holding a good pen.
It does. And it's not as long as a pen, but it balances really well. So it doesn't need to be as long as a pen.
Right. Do you hear that beeping?
Is that your pacemaker kicking up because you're really excited?
Yes. I'm excited about the Bamboo stylus.
Yeah. I understand.
So speaking of styli, you have another stylus for us.
I do. And by chance, this also happens to be a Wacom product.
Mm-mm. That's actually not chance.
No, it's really good.
Yeah, these guys know what they're doing when it comes to this drawing thing. They've been doing this for a long time with their
graphics tablets that connect to your Mac. Yes, yeah. There's one sitting on my desk right now. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. It's the stylus, the Intuos Creative Stylus. And don't confuse that with the Intuos graphics tablet, which by coincidence, not coincidence, is the tablet that's on my desk. They're just using the same name. So the Intuos Creative Stylus is a pressure-sensitive stylus. And it has a rubber nib, much like the Bamboo does. But it has a little bit different texture. It almost feels like you're sliding across paper as opposed to sliding across glass with it. So it has a really good feel. It's also higher resolution than many of the other pressure-sensitive styluses that I've seen. Meaning, and so in this case, resolution means how many levels of pressure sensitivity does it have? And the higher that number is, the more sensitive it will be.
The more natural it's going to be, too.
And the more natural it's going to look. And the Intuos Creative has 2,048 levels of pressure sensitivity. So that,
wow.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And it costs $99.95. When you get it, it comes in a nice little storage case that has shock protection foam in it. And it has a couple extra nibs, and it even ships with a battery in there. So, because it's a Bluetooth stylus. So when you pop that battery in, now you have an empty space where you can throw a spare in there so that you don't get caught without. And for the pressure sensitivity to work, it's just like any of the other pressure sensitive styluses. You need to have applications that support that specific stylus. All of the mainstream drawing and painting apps support it. So if you're already using a pressure sensitive stylus of any kind with your iPad, then you'll most likely be able to jump right in with Intuos Creative.
Now, I know that you're a big paper fan, Paper by
53.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite art app? That's, I think, paper's great for drawing. What about for art, for painting?
First, I will point out that what I create in paper is art.
Yes, I meant to say painting instead of art.
So
I can't draw my way out of a wet paper bag. So you know all this stuff.
I love your drawings.
Oh, good Lord, all this stuff's voodoo to me, man. So what's your favorite painting?
It varies. No kidding. It depends on my mood and what it is that I'm trying to do. So the two that I tend to be jumping between the most right now, mm-hmm, are Procreate, mm-hmm, and Sketchbook Pro.
Procreate. I wonder if they knew what they were doing there.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
So I'm sorry, Procreate and which one?
Sketchbook Pro.
Sketchbook Pro. And Sketchbook for painting or for sketching?
You can do both.
I see. All right, and both of those work with this Intuos?
They do.
Device?
And they work great on going all the way back to the iPad 2.
All right, rock on. Dig it, even. Dig it. So let us move on to, this was something that you found. I haven't seen it yet, but after you showed it to me, I just thought it was really, really, really cool. And it was the Deck Slope iPad stand, actually tablet stand.
You know, I saw this as a prototype at Macworld iWorld Expo at the beginning of the year. So it's been nearly a year, and it's finally out. And it's great. It looks really good. It matches the style of Apple's displays and Apple's laptops. So it looks totally at place on your desk. And when you stick your iPad to it, it almost looks like you have a mini iMac on your desk. That's how well it matches. And it's really cool the way it works.
That's the really nifty thing about this.
Yeah, there's no tray that your iPad sits in. There's no clamps that wrap around it. It's this rubber material that has these micro pore suction cup sort of things. So what you do is you just take your iPad and you touch it to the rubber surface and it sticks.
So it's kind of like it's a big fat gecko foot.
That's exactly what it's like. It's a big fat gecko foot. Yeah, and it holds your iPad really securely. It's crazy.
Now, have you tapped on it? Have you banged on it and used it and swiped and?
Yes, and what I found is that initially, I let there's the same pad on the bottom, and I left the protective cover on that because I figured I'd want to move this around all the time. Mm-hmm. What I found is that you don't want to have that protective cover on because you want this to stick to your desk.
So you're saying that the pad that the stand itself fits on is the same material and will grip your desk the same way it'll grip your iPad.
Yes. And you want to take advantage of that because you can bang on your iPad really hard and it's not going anywhere.
It doesn't slide down or, move around or anything like
that? Not at all.
Fascinating, man. So it looks great. And it has this almost magical property of holding your iPad almost like it was magnetic, and without putting any adhesive or attachments or anything else on your device.
Right.
It's freaking cool.
Yes, and I just realized if you like to have a case on your iPad, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming that as long as the case isn't porous, This would work. So if you have a hard case or like one of the gel cases, you could just leave the case on and stick this on the stand.
Well, that makes sense. What now? Will it hold? Do you have a smart cover?
I do. We're about to do an experiment.
Because the smart, like you've got the leather smart cover, right?
I do.
Because that's heavy. It's pretty heavy.
All right. So let's see if it works.
Live experimentation.
Holy crap. I can leave the Leather Smart case on my iPad Air and stick it on this thing.
The one that fits across on the back.
Yeah. So it's actually sticking to the leather. Holy crap. I did not expect that.
Wow. Now, what about your iPad 3 with the heavy cover, the smart cover?
Well...
Oh, you don't have that.
I don't have that anymore.
You don't have that anymore.
Okay. That went to a worthy cause. So I can't test that. Although, because it's just a magnetic cover, I would pop that off anyhow before sticking the iPad to it, which is exactly what I do with my iPad Mini.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Although we could test that with the Mini.
That makes sense.
Hold on. Let's pop a case on this thing.
But that thumping and smashing you hear is Jeff moving things around on his desk.
Nope. Doesn't work. If you have the case... Or the smart cover folded back so that that kind of microfiber side is sticking out.
Yeah, there's no way that would work.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking of having it dangling.
Oh, it would do that, no problem.
Interesting. This thing is really cool. It's $59.95. They've got two models. They've got one for 7-inch tablets and one for 10-inch tablets. And the 7-inch one is $54.95. Now, you've only tested the larger one.
Right. And I can't imagine why I would want the smaller one.
Yeah, it seems like you just go ahead and stick the smaller one on the larger stand. Like if you had the iPad Mini, you'd just stick it on your 10-inch stand and call it a day.
Right. And what I did with the prototype when I saw it back in January, February, whenever Macworld iWorld was, I had my iPhone in my hand. So I just stuck it to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked great too. So the bigger size, you can stick any of your devices to it. And for something like an iPhone, it just looks like this massive display stand that's designed to hold it securely.
You need to write a review of this thing.
Don't worry. That's why we're sticking all this stuff to it right now, so that it will be part of the review.
Excellent. Yeah. So it's really cool. We've got the link, of course, in the show notes. It's the Deck Slope, and Deck is spelled D-E-K-K-E, and Slope is spelled Slope.
Common spelling.
Common spelling is Slope. Alrighty, well, let's see if we have another kind of stand. This is a docking stand for iPhone 5, iPhone 5C, and iPhone 5S, as well as the iPad Mini and iPad Mini with Retina display. So, in other words, it has a lightning connector on it.
Oh, okay.
And it's called the AluBolt. I'm assuming it's AluBolt because Alu would be short for aluminum. It's from Just Mobile. I like their products. They tend to always do really, really good industrial design. And this thing is really cool. It's a little circle. The base of the stand is a circle, and then it has a lightning dock sticking up on it, and then it's got a curved piece of metal that your device would lean against. And it's plugged into the lightning stand, or the lightning port, and it'll charge your device and stand upright, and it looks fantastic.
And because of the way it's built, this is really cool. It looks like you can get the one stand, and it works with all of your lightning-compatible devices.
They specify not the iPad Air or iPad 4.
Because they're taller, I bet.
Probably because it's taller, yeah. Probably it's a weight issue. But what they do specify is the iPad Mini. And the iPad Mini with
Retina display. That makes sense. Looking at the design, that makes sense. Yeah, I think it's because the taller size of a regular iPad.
Yeah, it must be. So that is $49.95. I think it looks really sexy. Like I said, I like a lot of their products. I think a lot of their products look really, really good. They do industrial design well over at Just Mobile.
They do. I have some of their products that I use on a regular basis, and I really like them.
Yeah. I have the Just Mobile headstand. Have you seen that one?
The headstand? No, I don't have that one.
It's a holder for headphones.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's just a stand with a couple of tubes on it, and then an arm that comes out. And you stick your headphones on it, and it's great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I love that thing. I totally love that thing. Of course, I've got like three pairs of headphones here.
Of course you do. And I've seen it. Now that you mention it, I recall seeing it at CES or Macworld iWorld. I can't remember which. The one that they have, that the product they have that I just actually, it goes with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for the name right now because I use it all the time, and I just don't remember what it's called. It's the Lazy Couch.
The Lazy Couch, yeah.
Yeah, $24.95.
I've got a set of those sitting on my desk right now.
Yeah, and they're awesome. And okay, so for those of you that don't know what this is, I guess we better add this to our show notes as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It looks like almost like a fat puck, but it's only like 2.5 inches diameter, and it's rubber on each end and silver in the middle. It pops apart from the middle and becomes a stand for your laptop. So it props it up and gives you a little bit of an angle on the keyboard and some airflow underneath. And because it's rubber on the ends, it doesn't slip. So this just stays in my computer bag, and when I'm hanging out at Starbucks or whatever coffee shop I can get into where I can watch for people to do stupid things, I pop this out, set my laptop up so it's propped up, and that's how I work. When I'm done, you just take both halves, stick them back together so it's a single piece, and drop it back in your bag. It's awesome.
That is awesome. I like them too. I don't actually. I'm not quite as good at carrying them around all the time, but it's one of those things that's across my desk, and I made a point of keeping them, and they fit together really well. It's a really cool device.
It really is. And I just realized we managed to add something to our list, so we have at least two things now that are under the $50 mark.
Oh, in other words, the show is going off the rails.
Yeah. We've well, gone off the right. rails.
Let's talk about our sponsor so we can get back on track talking about some expensive things.
Okay.
This week, our show is brought to us by Sanebox, the really good folks over at Sanebox.
Yeah, speaking of affordable.
And what Sanebox is it's... I always like
it's triage for your email.
Triage for your email, and so what it does is you need to be approaching your email from the standpoint of using an inbox, and not lots of boxes. And it watches what goes into your inbox, and it learns what you think is important, and it sort of does a lot of triage for you and allows you to do quick triage.
Right, and so. Once it's learned, well, even before it's learned anything about you, it can already start filtering your messages and routing your messages so that you're seeing just what's important. And then, of course, it learns and becomes more accurate for you. And it makes it very easy to see the messages that actually matter and to defer messages so that you can look at them later when they need to matter.
Right. It's the kind of thing that almost seems like magic.
I think that's an excellent way to describe it. And it doesn't matter what email client you use because it works on the back end. So you can if you want to use Mail or you want to use Outlook or Mailplane or whatever, you can use what you want and let it do its filtering for you. Which also means it doesn't matter if you're on your Mac, your iPhone, your iPad, the filtering is still happening for you.
Right. Right. And it's also looking at, this is the part that I find fascinating, because they're learning from not only which emails you open, but which you respond to, how quickly you respond to them, how often. I mean, that's like really cool, smart stuff.
It's really smart stuff, hence the magic.
Hence the magic, right. And because they are sponsoring us, you get an opportunity to get a deal. You can try it for free, and you'll get a $10 credit for your account if you want to keep going with it.
That's awesome.
You try it for free. Try it for free.
What do you have to lose?
Nothing, but you have to gain time.
That's beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. So check out the folks at Sanebox. It's Sanebox. It's sanebox.com/ACM. That's ACM for our show. And that's where you can get the offer. And of course, we have a note in the show link.
That was awesome.
We have a link in the show notes directly to that special offer. So we'd like very much for you to check them out. They're good people.
Yes, go check it out.
Mm-hmm. All righty, then. How about we get back to some expensive presents?
I think that sounds wonderful.
So another thing that you can buy yourself is, you know how I like the guys, the folks over at Baja Cases?
Yes, and they do make some beautiful products, very high quality, too.
They make leather stuff. I first came across Baja because they made a case for the Razor, the Motorola Razor. That was the only case for the Motorola Razor that made sense.
I remember you showing me that all those years ago before we had iPhones.
Yeah, it was like sex on a stick, wasn't it?
It was. It was beautiful. It was your cover was blue and white.
It was blue and white or black and white?
No, it was blue and white.
Because I had a blue and white one for the iPhone, too. I think I was doing black and white for the Razor.
Maybe you were.
Pretty sure. Nonetheless, they still make great products, and everything is, it's hand stitched, it's handmade. They're actually making it for you, so you know it's expensive, but you're definitely getting what you pay for. We saw for the iPad Air, we saw a sleeve called the Sleeve. It's Vaha the Sleeve.
And it's just beautiful.
It's a beautiful little sleeve. It's just a leather envelope that you stick your iPad Air in.
Yeah. Lined on the inside to keep your iPad from scratching.
Right. It's going to hold your iPad in there snugly. It looks gorgeous, and it's $160. And you can customize it. They have all these crazy ways to customize. So not crazy as in, you know, like...
Crazy as in cool, not crazy as in why did you
extreme?
Yeah,
not that kind of crazy. But you can actually they have a flash-based engine that allows you to actually see the different colors that you're putting together.
Classy crazy, not bedazzle crazy.
Thank you. Well, thank you. You saved me, man.
I've got your back.
You totally do. You're the best. Anyway, $160. It's really cool. Vaha cases. That's Vaja. They make quality stuff. I've been a fan of theirs for years. And then you caught out of your eye.
I caught the libretto. So instead of being a sleeve, this is a like a wraparound cover. So your iPad Air fits into it, and then it makes your iPad like a folio, and it is just beautiful.
Yeah, one of the things that they do really, really well over Vaha cases, when they've got this leather back, it's not like a leather. First of all, it's real leather. It's just genuine leather. But like when you put your device into one of their cases that has a back, it fits. It holds it snugly.
Yeah, it fits correctly.
Yeah, it fits correctly. And so this has got the back, so the back of your iPad Air is going to be protected, and then it's got a magnetic smart cover for the front, and you know, so you can seal up both sides of it, and that's $180.
And it doesn't wrap around and block the edges of the display.
Right. Yeah, it's fitting right on the corner, and considering how slim the bezels are on the iPad Air, that's saying something.
Yeah, it really is. And they're just beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Yeah, they make good quality
stuff. So that's what, $180?
It's $180 for the libretto. That sleeve that we mentioned is $160. There are, of course, other products for the iPad Air and iPad Mini and iPhone and even a couple of Android devices. But definitely check out the folks at Vaha Cases.
Yes, and I just realized we forgot one of the styluses earlier.
Oh, no.
Luckily, we can fix that.
I don't have to iron my hands?
Nope, not this time, or at least not yet today.
Or at least not for this particular infraction.
Exactly. So, stylus. Okay, so Adonit, they make a lot of really nice styluses. They have teamed up with Evernote, and they have a new stylus called the Jot Script. And what makes this stylus different is that it has a very small tip, like under 2 millimeters. And I don't know how they're making this magic work, because the smallest I've seen on a stylus tip that just other than this has been 4 millimeters. And here we are with something that's under 2 millimeters. So it's like having a felt tip pen to write with. And the idea behind this stylus was give people a stylus that feels like they're holding a real pen, and when they're actually writing with it, it feels like they're writing with a real pen. So you can use it to, like, if let's say you're a student and you're taking notes in class and you want to write your notes by hand on your iPad, this is a really great tool for that, because it's not going to feel like your hand is dragging. And it's covering a smaller surface area on your iPad screen, so you can see more of what it is that's under the stylus tip. So that gives you a more natural feel when you're writing or drawing. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. And it works with, as far as I know, it works with every application. So I don't know what kind of magic they're doing to make this work, but it's there. And it's a Bluetooth stylus. So it's doing something on the mechanical end to make all of its magic happen. But it looks nice, it's built well, and it's just a really slick stylus. So don't let the fact that it's called Evernote Edition scare you away and have you thinking that you're about to spend $75 on a stylus that only works in Evernote. It'll work in other applications as well.
I wonder if one can actually make... Yeah, anyway, yes.
Yeah, and the answer is yes. You can design a stylus that works with only one application.
I suppose you could if you wanted to, yes.
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be kind of hard.
No.
Let's move along.
It's not that hard. The problem is it doesn't work well. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Let's move along.
Let's do something fun for the little boys and little girls inside us all.
We're going to go sing and dance?
Nope, we're going to do the Anki Drive Starter Kit.
That totally works, too. This,
you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, this is the remote control car kit that Apple showed off at Worldwide Developers Conference, where the cars learn, and they're using your iPhone for part of their control system.
You control them with your iPhone, and they're physical cars on a physical track that are connected to your iPhone.
Yes, and when you give them commands like find the fastest route through all the other cars.
Yeah,
they figure that out on their own.
And can't you shoot other cars too?
You can shoot other cars. You can tell your car block other cars from passing you.
Yeah.
And so instead of you having to sit there and try and move the car at the right time, it's figuring out where the other cars are, so it can shift its position and block them on its own.
Yeah, this is like the craziest, most awesome rich kid present ever.
It is really cool.
It's just tons and tons of fun. Definitely brings out the kid in me. I totally want to play with one. And the starter kit, that's a starter kit, mind you, ain't cheap. It's $199.95, $200.
Right, but that includes two cars and track and hours of fun for you and the whole family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If anyone needs my address to send me my own starter kit, talk to Jeff.
And if anyone needs my address that you can send me a starter kit, talk to Brian.
Excellent. We are well covered.
We're totally covered. It does look really cool. And if you want to start with this, make sure you have an iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. Because
that's true.
Because you actually need to have one of those to control this.
Yeah, you need one.
But since you're listening to us, there's a very high likelihood that you have at least one of those.
Very high likelihood. We definitely have a self-selecting audience.
We do. We have only the highest quality listeners.
Exactly. Exactly.
Discerning ears.
Discerning ears. Nest Protect.
Yes.
Another one of my fantastic segues. I love this thing. This isn't really Apple specific, but you can buy it at the Apple Store.
I think that's the only place you can buy it.
And this is a smoke and carbon monoxide detector.
It's made by the same people that made the learning thermostat, the Nest thermostat.
Right. Now, I think we talked about this on the show a while back. But now we're talking about it from the context of
it's cool
buying yourself.
Buy it.
Yes. Buying it for yourself or like for a present for someone else. Now, the thing about the Nest Protect is there's lots of things about these things. For one thing, they talk to each other. So if you put them throughout your house or everywhere that you would normally have a smoke and carbon monoxide detector, you will have a bunch of devices talking to each other.
Right.
And one of the things that they will do is tell you, like, you know, if there's smoke back in the bedroom, and you of course have set these up to, and you've told them where they are, right? And so if the one in the back bedroom detects smoke, the one in the front of the house is going to tell you there's smoke in the back bedroom,
right? Which is really cool.
It's super cool. It also tests its batteries when the lights go out. So it does a quick diagnostic so that you're not awakened at 3 a.m. to that dead battery chirp.
I hate that sound.
Oh my goodness, that sound is so frustrating. So this actually, you get a light indicator to let you know if everything's okay. And if everything is okay, it'll give you a green light, and you know that, you know, you're not going to have to worry about changing the battery out, you know, sometime in the middle of the night.
Right.
I mean, that's just smart.
Yes, and it talks with your iPhone.
It talks with your iPhone, so, communicates with your iPhone. You can set them up with your iPhone, monitor them with your iPhone. And
they will send you messages to your iPhone.
Yeah. And if you have the Nest learning thermostat as well, and it detects a gas leak, it'll turn off your furnace.
Yeah. How awesome is that?
I mean, this is science fiction stuff here.
It is. And it's fixing a problem I didn't know I had, just like the Nest thermostat did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and when once I saw these products, I was like, holy crap, how have we survived without them?
Yeah, well, I'm still surviving without them.
Yes, but look at the squalor you live in because you don't have these.
It's true. I didn't even realize it was squalor until now. Now, my joke has been that these things make me want to grow up enough to buy a house.
Yeah, I totally get that, and I understand that it's only a partial joke.
Yeah, it's not even a joke. It's a quip, but it's definitely not a joke. These things are cool. They're $129.95 a piece. Of course, you know, you probably want several of them for your house, wherever you have to have them. Wherever you have to, like, well, I guess it's only in California, it's rental houses that have to have them. I don't think, if I own a house in California, I don't think I have to have a smoke detector.
Wow. Well, in Colorado, the building code requires it. So if you're buying a new house or if you're remodeling, you have to be up to code with your smoke detectors.
Oh, I see. Well, in that, it's probably the law here too.
Yeah, it probably is.
No. Yeah. All right. And that's Brian and Jeff's Building Code Podcast.
Yeah. See, we've got your bases covered.
We do. Speaking of bases... if you're running bases, if you're playing softball, you're playing baseball, and you want to know exactly how fast you're... All right. That's just ridiculous. Tell us about... This is one of your products.
You remember how I used to be fat, and now I'm not?
Uh-huh.
It's actually because of this, the Fitbit. And they make several different models of their fitness tracking devices. The model that I think is the single best device on the market for fitness tracking, it's the Fitbit One, and it costs $100. Well, $99.95. It tracks your steps like as a pedometer would, and you can program in your stride, and it kind of learns, so it gets more accurate over time. It will also track the number of flights of stairs that you climb up, and it knows the difference between standing on an escalator and riding in an elevator and actually walking upstairs, so no cheating.
Excellent.
Yeah. It tracks the calories you're burning throughout the day, and a lot of the fitness trackers that do calorie tracking, it's not a complete view of what you're actually burning, because they're estimating how many calories you burn based on what types of fitness activities you're doing throughout the day. What the Fitbit One does is look at how many calories do you have to burn to simply live. Hmm. Because the act of sitting in a chair and breathing burns energy.
It's true.
So it takes that into account, plus what other activities you might be doing. So it's a more accurate representation of what your calorie burn throughout the day is. And it has an altimeter in it, so it's far more accurate at figuring out when you're going uphill and when you're climbing stairs. Plus, it also tracks your sleep at night if you want it to. And for me, that's been wonderful, because not only did I need to lose a bunch of weight, but I'm a horrible insomniac, and this has been instrumental in helping me figure out what my sleep cycle really is so that I can work on fixing it.
That makes sense. Now, one of the things one of the things that, that I like about it is, I mean, you know, the Nike Fuel Band is a fantastic device, or so I surmise.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a very nice product.
There are a couple of wearable things, and of course, we all expect Apple to be doing some kind of wearable device for the wrist that has been, you know, nicknamed the Presti iWatch.
Yes.
And I don't want to go off on too big of a tangent here. The iWatch is going to do more than the Nike Fuel Band. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I don't personally want to wear a fitness-specific device on my wrist.
I haven't found one that I want to wear on my wrist all the time either. It's one of the things that I like about the One and before it, the Ultra, because they clip to your pocket, to your belt.
Can you have it just sitting in your pocket?
Yeah, you can just drop it in your pocket. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm doing with my One right now. It's in my pocket, which I guess tells our listening audience I actually have pants on at this moment.
That's true.
Unless I found underpants with pockets.
It's also true. And since we're going into inappropriate land, the Fitbit is small enough that if someone says, is that a Fitbit One in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me, they're not necessarily complimenting.
Oh, I'm having a sad right now. Oh.
But yeah, so it's small. It fits in your pocket. I like that. That's the kind of thing I could I could have with me all day, as opposed to one of the things on the wrist. This is the fitness device that I've been planning on getting and have not gotten, and that's why I'm not skinny like Jeff.
This is the fitness device that I got and fell in love with more than the Ultra, because this syncs wirelessly with my iPhone, and the Ultra, you need to plug it into a cradle that connects to your computer through USB. So the wireless thing made this just so much more useful for me, or more convenient.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And at $99.95, it's a fine present for you to put for your cell phone under the tree.
It is. Yeah, I like it so much that when I lost mine, I had 2 days where I was in mourning, because no matter what I did, I simply couldn't find where it went. And then I just went out and bought a new one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So the point is, I like this so much that it's cost me $200 so far, and I'm okay with that.
Right. There you go. And that, I mean, listen, I don't want this to come out wrong, but a lot of things cross our desks. You know, a lot of people send us stuff that they want us to evaluate and check out. And when something strikes us so much that we're willing to pay for it, it's kind of a deal. I mean, does that sound smug? And because I'm not trying to.
Well, it doesn't sound smug to me, because I totally understand. The part of the problem is we get exposed to so many products, it's easy to become jaded and cynical about what we're seeing.
Yeah, the other way. You know, it's easy to become like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, you know, and the reality is that, you know, for people that don't have this stuff coming at them, this, you know, this is your money you're spending.
Right.
So, yeah, this is one of those products that, for Jeff to say this is something he'd spend his money on. Same thing with the V-Moto Crossfade M100s for those headphones. Absolutely, I'd spend my money on those. Absolutely. And that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot. So, since we talked a little bit about fitness, how about some more?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and actually, this is something that I use, too. The Withings Smart Body Analyzer. And it's a scale. And Withings is known for their scales that hook up to your Wi-Fi network.
Right.
And that's what the Smart Body Analyzer does. In addition to measuring your weight, and it has a built-in calibration system, so it can stay accurate.
Nice.
It tracks your blood pressure.
Okay. Through my feet?
Through your feet.
Wow.
Yeah. It tracks your body fat percentage.
Through my feet, but that's actually...
Through your feet.
Yeah,
it's very clever. It's using electricity.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like a resistance thing, and I don't understand exactly how it works, but you don't feel electricity. So you, which is important.
All right, so you're saying when you stand on it, you don't get shocked.
Yes, you don't get shocked.
Oh, that's definitely
a big selling
mark
point.
I'm gonna mark that down in the feature side.
Yeah.
Don't get
shocked.
Got it.
Okay. It also tracks the air temperature in the room and the air quality. So it's looking at the CO2 levels in the room that you have it in. So what they say is don't put it in the bathroom where a lot of people put their scales. Put it in your bedroom, because with what it's tracking, it can help you analyze sleep problems.
Well, what do you do if your bedroom's carpeted?
You do what I did, and you find what I did was I got a piece of wood that's bigger than the scale and set it on the floor and put the scale on top of that, so I have a hard surface.
But doesn't the carpet still absorb some
I'm not seeing that.
Okay. I'm not enough of a physicist. I'm kind of a physicist. I'm not enough of a physicist to know exactly how that works. So
yeah,
we'll just move along.
Yeah. So anyhow, it's really cool. It synchronizes back to your iPhone through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, and all these different services like the Fitbit and the Withing services, you can link your accounts together. So you can have all the information in the same place, which is really great. So it doesn't matter if you want to use products from different companies for tracking all of your fitness and health. There are ways to link them all together. And for me, that's been great. These are tools that have been very instrumental in me getting rid of the extra weight, keeping it off, and staying healthy.
That's good. Now, I really don't want to go out on health and fitness note. That just doesn't seem right.
Did we say how much this one costs?
No, we did not.
It's $149.95, so it's $150
scale. $150
scale.
All right. Now that we've done that, I really don't want to end on a health and fitness note. So let's talk about the big thing that we had on our list, and that would, of course, would be the iPad Air or the iPad Mini with Retina
display. Oh, I thought it was going to be Jeff Safe Cookies. But okay, whatever. iPad Air and iPad Mini with Retina display. Both excellent choices.
I have gotten the chance to handle the iPad Air more, and kind of similar to the Nest, it's made me realize just how much I suffer with my iPad 3. I kid. First world problems. The Air is just so light and fast and powerful and small. It's so cool.
It's good stuff. It's wonderful. The iPad Air is the iPad that I've been waiting for since the first model shipped. Which is not to say that I didn't like all the other models in between. It's just that this is the one that brings together so far all the features that I've always wanted. The power, the high resolution display, the lightweight, the thin body. It's a wonderful, wonderful iPad.
It's amazing. And the iPad Mini with Retina display, same resolution, smaller body. If you're looking for a big present to get someone, consider that.
Yeah.
Consider either one of those. I mean, either device.
They're awesome presents. And think outside the box when you're trying to figure out who these are appropriate for. Here's my example from earlier this year. A lot of people know through Twitter and Facebook and just being friends. My mom had a stroke a couple years ago. And it was actually, it was this day, I think 2 years ago now. So as we're recording, yeah. Happy anniversary, Mom.
I laugh. I'm only encouraging you. I shouldn't do that.
No, don't encourage me like that. This is bad.
I know.
Anyhow, so she had a stroke, and she's been going through the recovery process and bouncing back remarkably well. But some of the skills that she's needed to hone, the cognitive skills, she's been having a really hard time with the traditional methods of working with like workbooks and class books for kids.
Sure.
So we got her an iPad Mini, and started loading her up with apps and games that can help her work on memory and eye-hand coordination and stuff. Hmm. And it has been a remarkable tool for that.
That's a really good point. Plus, there are cool cat games.
Oh my God, yes, there are.
Those actually work. I have one. I had a cat play with that thing for 10 minutes straight, and she would keep coming back to it if I let her.
Yeah. So iPads as presents for your pets. There you go.
Yes. There you go. All right, man. We have put together a show of expensive presents.
Yes, and we threw in a couple less expensives because we're really generous and kind that way.
Yes, we are. To take us out.
Oh, I was about to. I was having a hard time finding the script for that part. It's one of those days.
Yes.
But I found it, so here we go. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening. Feel free to follow me on Twitter and app.net. I am Jay Gamet at both places.
And I am TM O'Brien on Twitter, and you can find my blog at geektales.com, and you can find Jeff's blog at freshbrewtales.com. Our sponsor this week was Samebox. We really appreciate them. We'd like you to check them out. They have a really cool product.
They do.
And, yeah, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And if you haven't given us a rating yet on the iTunes Store, take a minute and hop over and do that, please. And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.